going to take this morning a couple of examples in our scriptures. Sometimes when you read about people in the Bible, you learn a lot about yourself. And you, more importantly, you learn a really a lot about God. So this morning I want to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. 1 Chronicles 4, 9. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted his request. So Jabez, you may have, if you remember way back to the 2000s, seems eons ago, right? There was a book out, The Prayer of Jabez, and it was all about how we pray to God and ask God to prosper us and bless us, and every life is going to just be pain-free. Now, is life going to be pain-free? No. However, are we going to come out of that pain and grow through it? Yes. So if you know pain, you know gain, right? Exactly. More people say when you're athletes and so forth, no pain, no gain, right? So we see it applies. But this is knowing pain, not N-O, but K-N-O-W. When you know pain, when the gain comes, you really know gain, don't you? You know the big difference when you move up that place from where you were to the place that you are. Now, Jabez, his mother apparently had a tough birth with him. So she named him, "He will cause pain." Imagine starting out your life like that. "Here's my son. He will cause pain." Everybody runs away from him, right? I hope and pray none of you had a mother like that. I hope you're not hitting fathers that might have been like that. But sometimes in our family dynamic, do not people sometimes inadvertently say what we are or what we're going to become? Anybody ever heard that you'll never matter to God, or you'll never become anything? You're just a screw up. You're just a mess up. You can't get anything right. Anybody hear those messages ever? I hope and pray you don't say those messages right to your own children and to people around you, right? But this mother named this boy, "He will cause pain." Now you understand why he prayed the prayer he did. In fact, in this, even though it says here that you know, "Please keep me from all trouble and pain," what some of the other scriptures say actually in the Hebrew is, "Let me not bring any pain to anyone." See how sometimes when we get named a certain thing, if we're not careful, we can believe that certain thing, can't we? Right? Anybody ever been called a pain in the... And sometimes you think, "I'm a pain in the..." But no pain, no gain, right? If I don't step on your toes, you're not going to walk any faster forward, are you? But the good thing about Jabez that I saw in these scriptures was this. He would not accept what someone else tried to predict for him and what his future was going to be. He instead prayed for something different. He prayed to God that God would bless him and expand his territory. In other words, he obviously felt alone, because if you're somebody who's called nothing but a pain, you probably don't have a lot of things in your future that you think people are going to be around you, right? If you come from that place where you have a negative self-image of yourself, is that redundant? But needless to say, if you have that self-image, it could stop you from wanting to be or being blessed, wouldn't it? How many times do we get blessed by God and we think, "Oh, I don't deserve that. I'm not worthy of that. Here, take it back. I'm supposed to be punished." There are religions that actually teach that, believe it or not. But needless to say, what Jabez does and what I want you to do, because every time we speak about someone in the scripture, I'm actually talking to all of you as well, right? We can learn things from people in scripture how to change our own lives through God's power. See, he did not accept that name. Now, I don't know if he changed his name later on. Doesn't say in scripture. But I do know this. God granted his request. So he obviously was blessed, and his life expanded. Why? Because he prayed to God. So here's the first point of the sermon. Regardless of what you've been told about how far you can or cannot go, you do not have to accept it. You have been given free will to change and choose your future. Your past does not equal your future, does it? Your name, although I have a pretty good one, Joyce, so I try to live up to it some days, right? But some of us, if you were called a pain, and or you don't amount to anything, or you'll never get it right, or all those things you used to maybe believe, you can change that today if you've never changed it before. You can go to God in prayer and say, God, bless me. Change me. Change my future to be greater than what somebody over here tried to tell me that it would be. We can all have a better life, can't we? Can't we? So that's what happened to our friend Jabez, the man that his mother said he will cause pain. I'm sure later on he caused pleasure, and he found pleasure, and he found joy, and he found happiness, because he wouldn't accept the fact that even though he was called a pain in the, he was not going to be that. God would change that for him, and God did. How powerful is that? You have to walk in it, though. You have to be just like Jabez and not accept the lot in life that you may already be in, even if it is pain and painful. Life can be painful at times, can't it? Tough things can happen, can't they? But when you know pain, you know, and you know God, that's in the middle of that, you're going to know gain. You're going to grow through it. Life is a journey. You grow through it. You grow through it. You don't just muddle through it. You go to God and ask God to change your circumstances or change you so that you have the focus on God's goodness and greatness. And watch what God will do for you. What he did for Jabez, he'll do for you. He'll do it for me because the word is true. Yes? So the first thing you have to do when you want a life change for you, pray to God what you want it to be. What you want it to be. And don't let any other person ever tell you what you can or cannot do, because all things are possible with God. So I'm going to bring us to the next person in the scriptures. We're going to go backwards in the Bible, back to Genesis. And there's this guy by the name of Joseph. You may have heard of him. Commonly known as Dreamer Joe. The sermon still sticks with you, doesn't it? Joseph was the son of Jacob, and he was one of Rachel's favorites. And God also favored Joseph for whatever reason. He was 17 years old when God came to him and told him about his future, how he would be above and beyond where he was at that moment. And he just so happened to have some jealous brothers who were older than him. And so what those brothers do, because they just couldn't stand the fact that Joseph had a good sense of what his future might be, they decided to get rid of him, and they throw him in a pit. There was no water in it, so he didn't drown in there, but he probably was screaming for help. But there he was in the darkness of that pit. And then later on, these traders come by, and these brothers sold Joseph into slavery to those traders so that they could go to Egypt. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver, just like Jesus. 30 pieces of silver. You see the connection already? But needless to say, throughout Joseph, and while Joseph was there, as he was taken into slavery, he was put into jail, he began to serve eventually, at the age of 30. So 13 years went by, and while he was in jail, and all kinds of bad things happened to him in that process. He knew a lot of pain. But eventually, and we see that good starts to happen for him. And in fact, back in Genesis 39, it says in verse 2, I didn't put this in the sermon per se, but I want to read this scripture to you. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did. So here's the thing. He was in jail. He was a slave. He was enslaved. He was hated, nearly killed. And yet the Lord was with Joseph, because God had put a plan on his life, right? Way back at the beginning of this, of Genesis 37, you can read the rest of the scriptures. God showed him what the future would be. And Joseph understood that and held on to that, even in the midst of all that he went through. Anybody here going through any difficulties in life ever? Or maybe even now? Some of you think that perhaps now, you know, the future is way off and it's never going to happen. But here's the truth of this. Even when you're in the pit or you're in a palace, the Lord is with you. And when the Lord is with you, you will succeed in everything you do. Even if it's serving in slavery as he was to the Pharaoh, he still praised God and worshiped God. And he was great at what he did because he had a great attitude. Why? He knew that even though he was in pain now, there was going to be a great big gain when? Later. See, there's always a later gain. No matter what you're going through, you're going to gain something. I don't know what it is for you. Sometimes you just need some strength. Sometimes you just need some hope. Sometimes you just need some faith. Sometimes you just need to get closer and closer to God. Sometimes we're closer to God in those dark times, aren't we? But have the attitude of understanding that being with the Lord is enough. Even in the midst of any circumstance, praise God through it. That's what Joseph did. He had his daily prayers and worship to God. And he had a great attitude as he served. He served wonderfully. In fact, Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success. So when here's the thing. He wasn't complaining and he wasn't moaning and he wasn't groaning. He wasn't anywhere near like any of those Israelites that we see later, right? He didn't complain about the fact of what his brothers had done to him. He didn't tell his tale of woe to everybody that would listen. He just served God in the midst of that darkness and had hope. And his good attitude, that positive attitude, was noticed by those around them. How many of you love to go to complaint parties? How many of you love to go to pity parties? Ugh. And how many of you have your own personal, by yourself, pity party and complaint party? And then you wonder why you're not feeling so great. When things aren't good or great, you have to spend time with God and look for the good in the midst of what your circumstance might be. We can learn through our circumstances, can't we? And if nothing else, you have a companion through it. You're not going through life alone. You're going through it with God himself and others around you who believe in your future is going to get better. Eventually. So let's pick up the story, I guess. We're going to jump to Genesis 41, beginning at 37. Meantime, Joseph gets promoted and begins to work in Pharaoh's palace after some bad things still happen to him. He's like the second Job of the Bible, you know. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?" Wow. Wouldn't it be awesome if people around you said, "We need advice, we need help, we need hope from somebody around us." And do you know of anybody else more filled with the Spirit of God than this woman, than this man, than this person? You understand how the Pharaoh sees how Joseph is filled with God's Spirit, right? That's what we ought to be all as Christians, right? Right? People should look at us and say, the Spirit of God is on that person or in that person by the way they act, by the way they talk, by the way they live, by the way they treat others, right? Examples. This is what Joseph was. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you," because that's a gift he had, "clearly no one else is as intelligent or as wise as you are." Because Pharaoh had all these other prophets, supposedly, but only Joseph had the Spirit of God that could tell the truth. "You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on the throne, will have a rank higher than yours." Think about that. The Pharaoh, the king, the head of all Egypt, the head honcho, the chief what's in charge guy, the big kahuna. That guy up there. made Joseph second in command. Is the prophecy starting to come true? Joseph's name means to increase. God will give. Joseph, the father of Jesus, the stepfather, I should say. God will give. So he puts him in charge. Pharaoh said, I will hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand, placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Boom, diddy, boom. Right? Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. Wow. From pain to big gain. Big, major, super duper gain, right? Went through all that hardship for 13 years. Now he's 30 years old later. I'm not 30, 13 years later. He's 30 years old. Same age as Jesus started his ministry, by the way. Another connection. And who's only lower than the highest king in heaven? Only Jesus, second in command, right, in earth. And he's equal to God now, right? You see how God used Joseph as an example of if you will worship and praise God and have the right attitude going through your life journey and worshiping God through everything you go through, regardless. And using the gift God gave you, he served Pharaoh gladly. He served and had prophetic dreams. He did what God asked him to do in the midst of even being bound up in chains. Can we serve like that? Can we go through life like that, regardless of what our circumstances are, to say, I'm here to serve regardless. I'm here to use the gifts that God is giving me, and I'm going to do it joyfully and enthusiastically, so that others can also see the glory and goodness of God. Yes. Yes. So during this time, a famine happens, and then Joseph collects all these crops because God showed him in a vision about a famine coming. So he ends up having all the crops. And the end of the story, as you know, is his brothers come and get fed the bread from him. But here in verse, not only this, prior to, there's another reward for him I want to speak of. Verse 50, during this time, before the first of the famine years, two sons were born to Joseph and his wife, Asenath, which is the daughter of Potiphar, who previously saw the greatness of Joseph. He wanted to give his daughter to this awesome man of God, right? And he was the priest of On. Joseph named his older son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my troubles. How about that? Wouldn't you like to forget all your troubles? Wouldn't you like to forget some of the things of your past that hurt you? Wouldn't it be better to live in the present and also look forward to the future? Do you not know that your destiny is not your history? Where God is setting you forward to is not where you were before. And he's going to take you from pain to gain every single time. Joseph named his second son Ephraim. God has made me fruitful in this land of my grief. Even in the midst of grief, he was blessed. Even though he was in pain a lot of his lifetime, he still served. He still loved God. He never renounced God. He didn't say, why did this happen to me? Why do I have such a bad family? How come I couldn't have better brothers? And Jabez comes to mind. Why do I have to be called? He's pain. You can't whine and win at the same time, I'm afraid. And one of the things I know is this. Joseph had hope. even wherever he was along that journey, and even for Jabez, he had hope in a future. He realized that even though he was named one thing, that he didn't have to stay one thing. And Joseph had hope of a future that God promised him. He kept that in front of him. We all have a hope and a future in God, do we not? Yes. I always have a future. There's always something better coming. Even at the end of death, there's something better coming. Yes? Even though we go through pain here, we're going to gain here, and then we're going to gain there too, right? So one of the things that I wanted you to understand is the word hope. There's always hope. And a nice acronym of that is, hold on, pain ends. Hold on. Just keep holding on. We've been through some things in the last few years. Everybody already forgot about COVID, right? Okay. We forgot our troubles of the past, right? But listen, well, we need to. We need to hold on. We need to hold on because pain ends. And God gives us hope of a future, does he not? Our past does not equal our future, correct? For those of you that want to repeat your past and tell us your stories about your past, make them a victory story. This is what I was. This is what I went through. This is what they called me. This is what they said I couldn't do. And here I am on the other side. They did the same to Jesus, right? They tried to put him down. They tried to say he was a lunatic. They tried to call him all kinds of things. They tried to stone him. They did everything against him in the midst of all that pain of the people rejecting him, the people that he loved so much, and all the others came against him, although the religious people particularly and all the people that hated him. And he went through pain on the cross, did he not? Excruciating pain before and during. But he knew there was an after. And he knew you and I were worth it. We were worth the pain so we would gain eternal life. You see what he proved to us all. Even though we have pain now, we're going to gain a future that is no one can take from us. Only you can rob yourself of your future if you want to commiserate about your past. You're not your past. And your past ain't you. Bless you. You do not have to be caged in your past any longer or be fearful of your future either. Because sometimes we either dwell in the past or we're afraid of how bad the future is going to be, right? There's no negative Nellies here. I don't see any. No. Because remember, your destiny is greater than your history. We all have a history, don't we? It made us who we are today, correct? But it's nothing compared to our destiny in the future. Who we're going to become, how great we're going to be, how powerful we're going to be, how free we're going to be, how loving we're going to be, how awesome we're going to be, right? Whether we get external blessings or not, I may not have a signet ring and a gold chain around my neck, but I got something more important. I got Jesus Christ inside of me. And nothing and no one can take that from me, the love of God, or you either for that matter. We need a walk in victory, don't we? I'm going to give you a psalm and you can have it going forward. Psalm 90. You want to write it in your Bible, it's okay with me. Psalm 90, verse 15. Anybody here in pain right today? Anybody here going through some tough stuff? It's okay to say you are, we do, right? It doesn't define us. It's not the end of the story. It's just something we're going through, is it not? But we all get hurt, don't we? Right? But we don't stay hurt, do we? Because we go to God in prayer to say, take away this pain and hurt from me, God. Comfort me. Strengthen me. Help me. Psalm 90:15. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. I love that. I love that scripture. God, give me gladness in proportion to my crappy past, my awful childhood, the people that have hurt me and harmed me, all the people that have rejected me, all the people that said I was a pain in the, and let me get rid of that, God, and forget it, our former misery. You notice how this psalmist writes former, prior to? Replace the evil years with good. Are you ready for some good? Do you know that throughout this Bible, there's always, in the Old Testament particularly, there's something called the year of Jubilee? Yeah. For all, and the Bible says also, those that reap in tears sow in gladness and joy. So if you had a lot of tears, you're going to get a lot of gladness and joy. The book of Amos 9:11 says, restore to us everything that was stolen from us. Wow. Those are prayers. Those are things you want affirmed to be true. Give us gladness in proportion to our misery. Some of us are going to get a lot of good, aren't we? Look at Joseph, right? Look at Jesus when he rose from the dead, crowned of glory, gave glory to God, right? Sits on the throne. Only God was on that throne prior to. Just like Pharaoh, he was above, but Joseph rose up equal to him and then went above him, as Jesus did, right? We rise above. So there's a few things you can learn through these two men in the Bible. One, your name doesn't define you, or your whatever people told you you were or weren't doesn't say that's who you are in the future, correct? Right? You decide who you want to be. You decide how great you want to be for God. You go to God in prayer and say, whatever it is that you're struggling with, take this from me. Give me something else instead. You pick the something else and watch what God does. Stay close to God when you're going through difficult times. Surround yourself with others who will pray with you and for you and encourage you and say to you, your future's going to be okay. You're going to have a victory. You're going to come out of this pain and you're going to see a great big gain. We don't know what it is, but it's coming. And serve while you're in the midst, wherever you are on your life journey, top of the mountain, bottom of the barrel, serve God with a loving heart, with a cheerful heart, with the right attitude. And just wait for God to work things out for you. See, Jabez had to go to God in prayer for his life to change, right? God granted the request. When you ask something in line with God's will, God will do it for you. So wait for God to work it out for you. And lastly, God will give you double back what you lost before, and maybe even 100-fold. So if you know pain, you're going to know gain. You ready for the gain? So as the song is sung this morning, I want you to begin to think about asking God for the gladness and that you forget all your troubles as Joseph did. Put a Manasseh in your life. Forget about the troubles. And be fruitful even in the midst of grief or pain. Right? And I know this, and I can promise you this, and you will see this. For anybody going through something difficult, no matter what it is, might have a stronghold on you, might be a fear you have, might be something that you're not moving forward with your life with, or maybe you're still stuck in that passion. You can't forgive the people that hurt you, as Joseph forgave his family, as God has forgiven us. Because sometimes that's a lesson to learn that sets us free to move forward, does it not? But regardless of what you're going through, you're going to see a victory. When is it going to happen? 13 years from now? 30 years from now? 5 minutes from now? I don't know. But all I know is this. If you're in the presence of God, grateful for where you are, that you have God as your Savior and as walking with you through everything, you're already won, haven't you? Circumstances may not magically change or miraculously change yet, but eventually, soon it will. Spoken from the voice of the young child of God. You see why God said we had to have childlike faith? This kid's going to have so many victories I don't even want. I hope I'm around to see all of them. That's the heart that God wants for all of us as his children, right? No matter what they called you, I call you victorious. I call you victorious. All of you have overcome so many things, haven't you already? All of us have known pain, haven't we? But boy, oh boy, we surely know gain too, don't we? The blessings of God to go to that God and receive everything we need all through our life and a companion that will never leave us or forsake us. And we all have eternal life, something to look forward to in the future as well as now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.